We desire to thank thee for
those hymns of praise that we have been singing this evening, and for those special numbers, and we trust that they are messages in song. And yet we're very conscious tonight that perhaps there might be some in our gathering together that cannot sing of the man of Calvary. Grant it tonight, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, that there might be a soul that will weep their way to Calvary. This would bless thy people. This would cause the angels to sing. This would glorify thy Son. And we would ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, will you please turn in your Bibles this evening to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, 27. And we shall commence reading, please, at verse number 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him of his raiment and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Verse number 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture that they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. Now, would you please look down to another verse in the same chapter, verse number 53. Were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Verse number 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Quite a number of years ago, in the city, in one of the cities of Scotland, there was a little boy who did not like to eat his porridge in the morning. The crusts of bread were cast to the one side. The glass of milk was left untouched. The mother was quite upset. And the little boy, of only 6 years of age, decided that he would leave home. He had heard that if he walked far enough, he would get to China, where boys and girls were not obligated to drink their milk. They didn't have any to drink. They did not know what porridge was, and so, to his great delight, he wanted to go to that part of the world. The little boy went to his bedroom, and he got a few things and put them into a handkerchief. He tied that handkerchief to his stick and put it on his shoulder. He was going to leave home, where his mother would not reprimand him again. But little legs don't carry one very far. And he went up one street and down another, and he turned a corner. And he didn't recognize where he was. And like a little boy, he started to cry. Just then there was one of those British policemen standing 6'2" in his stocking feet with that high, high helmet on top of his head that made him look 7 feet. And there's one thing over in the British Isles, you never say good morning to a policeman. And he doesn't carry a firearm, but he does carry a baton or a baton, and you respect them. And their belts are shiny, and so are their shoes. Now looking down at the little boy, he began to bellow even greater. He said, "Mister, I didn't do anything. Where do you live?" I said, "Don't know." "Sonny, where do you live?" "I live with Mommy." "Where does Mommy live?" "She lives with Daddy." "And where does Daddy and Mommy live?" "They live in our house." "And where is your house?" "I don't know." The policeman picked the little fellow up in his arms. He said, "Tell me, Sonny, does your mommy ever, or do you ever hear the fire engine clanging?" "Oh, yes, sir. The fire station is not too far from where I live." "Your mommy sometimes takes you to the park?" "Yes." "That's not too far from my house." And the little boy and the policeman, they went to the park. "Do you know where the ice cream shop is?" "Yes," said he. "That is in front of our house." A wise policeman. He carried the wee boy along. He said, "Sir, do you see that crossroad? The cross?" "Yes." He said, "If you'll take me there, I'll run straight home." That's an amusing tale. And in the proclamation of the gospel, I want to take us to the cross. I know of no place dearer to the child of God than the cross where Jesus died. John Bunyan said, "It is wonderful allegory if I had anything to do with our educational system, I believe that I would demand as required reading John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. That dear man of God who preached the gospel was put in Bedford prison for over 20 years. And he wrote a wonderful allegory, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In that marvelous book, he depicts a man fleeing from the city of destruction toward the celestial city. He had a tremendous burden upon his back. And with great difficulty did he travel. There were certain obstacles in the way. But finally he came to a place. And he says in his dream it was somewhat ascending. And with great difficulty did I arrive at the summit. He said, I fain would have remained there forever, but I saw three crosses. I was not attracted to the cross on either side, but that central figure was the attraction of my heart. And he said, I began to sing as I saw him dying. Thus far do I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in till I come hither. What a place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the cords that bind to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. And dear Bunyan said, I beheld in my dream, and I saw the great burden that was upon my back roll down the hill, and it rolled into the grave of Jesus, and I saw it no more forever. Do you wonder why he gave three leaps for joy when the burden was removed? And like the little boy, I would like to take you to the cross tonight with the thought in mind that you'll run straight to the Father's house. One could spend the best part of an hour depicting something of the scenes of Calvary. You see, God's beloved Son, who has come from the ivory palaces into a world of woe, he was absolutely perfect in all of his ways. His delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate day and night. He sat not in the seat of the scornful, and he stood not in the way of sinners. And he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that gave forth its fruit in a season. And he was born into the world of a virgin. That holy thing that was conceived of Mary was in truth the holy, incarnate Son of the living God. He never sinned in his life.
And yet, he was every ounce a man. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And he was despised, and he was rejected of men. And yet he was the one that could give sight to the blind. He could heal the leper, cleanse the leper. He could cause the lame man to walk. And he could call forth those that had died back to life again. And still he was faithful in his ministry. He called the scribes and the Pharisees whited sepulchres, and they despised him. People felt that this was the one, the Messiah of Israel, that was going to redeem the nation. But now the time has come when the Christ of God has been sold for 30 pieces of silver, only the price of the slave. 30 pieces of silver was the price that he gave. And the Savior is sold. They came searching for him in the Garden of Gethsemane with lances and torches. Yet they needed not, for did he not say, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world? Well, that's what he said. And still they came searching for him with torches. And he was the light of the world. He's taken away, and there, without a trial, the Christ of God is condemned to die. His own disciples had followed afar off, but there was one known to the keeper of the gate of the high priest's palace. And John was allowed in. And he secured an entrance for a Simon Peter, who told his Lord that he would go to death for him. And when someone said, thy speech betrayeth thee. Is, what did he say? Did Peter say, I know not the man. And with earth, oath, and cursing, he denied his master. Surely thou art one of them. Did not I see thee in the garden? When the ear of the high priest or the ear of the centurion was cut off, one of the soldiers, the Lord put it back again. And now he's taken to Pilate. He says he's a king. A king. A king. We've got no king but Caesar. What has he done? Nothing. Without a sentence, Pilate examined the Savior. And I sometimes try to visualize the scene. His wife came along, have thou nothing to do with him. I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. And again he's brought forth. His
says, I'll scourge him. And I'll let him go. And I understand that the scourging was done with a lash of from 5 to 39 lashes. And on the end of that lash, there were pieces of bone and iron tied. What was upon my mind tonight was to talk about the man who was actually required to crucify the Savior. He was a Roman soldier. He was a centurion. A man who had 100 soldiers under his command. But beyond that, he's unknown. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about his appearance. We know nothing of his nationality. I know nothing whatsoever of his career as a soldier. I don't know what abilities he had. All I know is this, that he was a soldier. Nothing is said about his family. And he's standing by with 100 soldiers. Pilate said unto him, the people don't want him, crucify him. And I see that soldier, that brave man, undoubtedly, the victor of many battles. And he gives order to 3 of his stalwarts to scourge the back of the Son of God. The way they did that was this. The man was bowed in two. And the first soldier with his lash, with a cynical grin upon his countenance, he raises that whip, and the flesh is torn from the back of the Christ of God. And again, so that the master could say, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. And as the flesh and the blood might spatter upon the countenance or the arm of that soldier, he begins to curse, blaspheme, and he throws down the whip. Another would come forward. And again, the flesh is torn. And I understand that oftentimes the scourging would do away with the crucifixion, for the man would die for lack of blood. The second one gets tired, and another comes forward. And the whip is thrown to the ground, to the king, strange king, a king without a crown. One says, I'll get one. and he's crowned with thorns. It didn't fit. They beat it into the brow. King. Strange king without a scepter. But we'll get one. And they put a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee in mockery to him. And they played a game, which was quite popular in those days. And they blindfolded the master. They spat upon his countenance. They plucked the hairs from his cheek. Who smote thee? Who smote thee? And as a lamb before his shearers, as dumb, he opened not his mouth. And again, they beat him, and has never been tried. He has never been found guilty. And there he stood. Crucify him. Thy see that centurion with his band of soldiers. Making way as the Christ carries a cross. And he fell time and time again. The lack of blood. And they laid a cross upon one, a Cyrenian, Simon by name, and he is taken to Calvary. Lo, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low, the nailing my Lord to the tree. And as the cross they upraised and the multitude gazed at the dear Lamb of dark Calvary, crowned with thorns upon the tree, silent in his agony, dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath and the curse of God. And he had never been tried. You're the Christ. Why don't you come down? Show us a sign. You said you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Show us a sign. What a sign? God gave them a sign. When the Christ of God was born into the world, God gave them a star that had never been seen before. And that star abode over a stable in Bethlehem. And the Savior was born. You want a sign, do you? I'll give you a sign. And the shepherds came and they worshipped him. The wise men made their journey from the east. And they presented unto him the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. You want a sign? What greater sign than that star? But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. A sign. Do you remember when he walked into Jerusalem, or when he rode upon an ass, and the people cut down the branches of the palm trees, and they said, Hail, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees reprimanded them. And the priests just rebuked them. They're calling you Messiah. Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What did the master say? If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You want a sign? When our blessed Savior expired upon that tree, there was an earthquake. And the rocks were rent. You want a sign? The stones will cry out. You want a sign? I see a priest. And at that particular moment when the Savior is dying upon a cross of wood, and yet he made the hill upon which it stood. And there's a priest, and he's in a temple, and he's offering an evening sacrifice. And in a moment, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You want a sign? You want a sign? When the Savior was born, God gave them a sign, a star. And when he died, he put out the light of the sun. Do you want a sign? What greater sign than that? And as the multitudes gazed upon the Christ of God, they smote upon their breast. And they returned. But now the sky is darkened, and even his own disciples followed afar off. They cast lots for his vesture. And as the Savior cried, "It is finished," that centurion standing to the one side, he had never seen anything like that in his life before. And I think that perhaps that which most impressed him were the miracles that took place at Calvary. What a wonderful, wonderful happening. Darkness covered the entire land after the bloody deed had been committed. Darkness. The sun refused to shine. And God hid his face from his well-beloved son. The only time that we read in the Word of God forsaking anybody, he hid his face from his son. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in. When Christ the incarnate maker died for man, his creature's sin. That was a miracle. Darkness. The rent veil. That was another one of the happenings that took place at Calvary. The veil of the temple was rent. And I can say that the veil is rent. Lo, Jesus stands before the throne of God. Clouds of incense from his hand fill all that glorious place. The veil was rent, making a way opened into the very holy of holies. Something else happened that I believe impressed that centurion when the rocks were rent. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And I believe, beloved, it is the place where the greatest suffering ever took place. And I would say unto you tonight, there's room at the cross for thee. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The centurion said, certainly, this was the Son of God. And I believe that when he recognized that he was in the presence of omniscience, the presence of the Savior, he opened his heart and he received him and he trusted in the precious blood. And tonight I believe that that centurion, the man that crucified the Lord, is in glory. I may be speaking to some tonight. And you're going to say, after gazing at Calvary, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on the alcohol. And you're going to leave this meeting unconverted? And shall I say, trampling underfoot the blood of the Christ of God. You have a tremendous responsibility. A greater responsibility than had Barabbas, who looked at the Savior, undoubtedly brought out of a dungeon cell with curses and blasphemy, and he looked at the Christ taking his place. I don't say he was converted, but that could happen tonight. You can leave this gathering as you came, unconverted, or you can trust in the precious blood. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And if you die and go down to hell, you'll never say that I never knew that he died for me. Shall we pray? Am I speaking to someone tonight? And to this moment, you have never bowed a knee to Calvary, to the Lord Jesus. And I want you to realize
that there were people praying for you before this meeting commenced. And there are people praying for you right now. Would you say, quietly, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go down to hell. I've heard about the cross tonight. I would like to trust the Lord Jesus. So just as I am, a poor lost sinner, I confess it to thee, and I'll receive the salvation which is offered.